The big question in business, what kind of a blow will the earthquake and tsunami deal Japan's economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The death toll in Japan's earthquake and tsunami could exceed 10,000. The cleanup and recovery there will be in the tens of billions of dollars. The financial world is keeping a close eye on whether Japan will be able to handle the hefty price tag, and that means the country needs to maintain a good credit rating, which allows it to borrow money at more affordable interest rates. Well, Tom Byrne is a senior vice president for Moody's, the rating agency in Singapore, and he's with us now to talk about it. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Just tell us, is Japan's credit rating in danger of being downgraded because of this disaster?
Probably not because of this disaster, but we do have a negative outlook because we're concerned about the government's ability to fashion an effective fiscal and economic reform response to the debt problems that the government faces.
We know it's in, yeah, there's a lot of debt in Japan, but then we have this calamitous event that's not man-made. Do you take things like that into consideration?
We're trying to, put our arms around this to see what the economic consequences are first and then what the fiscal consequences would be. Our benchmark is the 1995 Kobe earthquake, where the economic damages were about 2 to 2.5% of GDP. The fiscal costs were a little more than 1% of GDP. If it's of that order of magnitude, most likely we're not going to see any severe stress in the government bond market here. So we don't see this disturbing that equation.
I would imagine there's some PR in this as well. You guys don't want to look like you're just piling on. Do you take that into consideration as well?
It's kind of tough, but we'll be looking at various sectors in the economy, and we're credit analysts, so we have to call it as we see it. Japan's a big economy. I mean, the output is as big as the combined economies of Germany and Italy. So in the near term, yes, there'll be, I think, severe economic consequences.
Tom Byrne, Senior Vice President for Moody's in Singapore. Tom, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, today, in the hardest hit areas of Japan, in addition to despair, there's fear. And in the wake of the uncertainty at a couple of nuclear power plants in the northern part of Japan, Switzerland this morning says it's going to suspend plans to build new nuclear plants there. In the U.S., Democratic Congressman Ed Markey is calling for a similar moratorium. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Obama administration has been trying to jumpstart nuclear power with billions in federal loan guarantees. Guarantees are crucial to entice private investors who've shied away from the high cost of new plant construction. Now, critics in government are calling on U.S. regulators to review existing safety guidelines, and they want to shut down several aging plants in New England with the same design as the facility in Japan. James Acton is a nuclear policy analyst at the Carnegie Endowment.
Safety does cost. The more extreme events you want to engineer power plants to withstand, the more expensive they have to be.
Mitch Singer of the Nuclear Energy Institute, a trade group, says there are some lessons to be learned from Japan which will impact future reactor design.
There might be some changes in operating procedures, a few engineering type of changes, but it's not necessarily anything that would add to the cost of building a new plant.
A single new reactor can cost upwards of $10 billion. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Well, global markets are mostly lower right now. Tokyo's Nikkei was down 6% today, the biggest drop since the financial crisis. Toyota says its plants will be shut down this week in Japan. Sony and Nissan have similar plans for some of their plants as well. On Friday, the Dow added 59 points to end the day at 12,044.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By Allianz, managing over $1.7 trillion in assets, providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
It seems like everyone on TV is talking about Charlie Sheen. Oh, yeah, everyone on TV is talking about Charlie Sheen. CBS is expected to lose millions of dollars in ad revenue without its primetime hit show Two and a Half Men, for now anyway. But the ad revenue loss may only be temporary, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
This is how CBS CEO Leslie Moonves put it recently.
Advertising is back. My sales guys call once a week. They can't sell our shows fast enough.
Moonves says some spots are selling for 40% more than they were a year ago. That bodes well for the networks as they approach what's known as the upfront market this spring, when media buyers make their big ad purchases for the next season. Brand strategist Adam Hanft says ad rates on the whole could be up as much as 10% over last year.
Marketers were holding on to a lot of dollars because they were concerned that we might have a double dip. And as they feel more confident, some of those budgets that were in a lockbox, if you will, for a while, have now been opened up.
Particularly auto companies. Some nearly disappeared during the recession, but they were back at the Super Bowl in a big way, with spots like Volkswagen's Little Darth Vader. Brad Adgate of Horizon Media says TV is still the best way to reach a large audience.
TV viewing is still very strong, and clearly there is a long love affair that marketers have with television.
And where might that love affair go next spring? Here's Adam Hanft.
People are hungry for escapism, so I do think that it'll be a lot of frothy, kind of high entertainment value, no intellectual stress programming.
Like,
men.
Oh, right, not that one. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, the newest idea in New York City dining, curbside cafes. The city's transportation commissioner has approved a dozen restaurant requests for long, narrow seating areas that'll replace parallel parking spots on the street. The area would be separated from bustling taxis and traffic by a thin row of planters housing flowers and greenery. When the waiter asks, "Where do you want to sit?" tell him, "You'd prefer that table on the street." Never mind you had to park in New Jersey because all the spots nearby were taken up by tables and chairs. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, tweeting at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
48 million Americans enjoy bird watching. The Audubon Society is happy about that. Be even happier, though, if they had a little something else.
A younger, more diverse audience to help us create the Audubon of the future.
I'm Kai Rizdal, attracting young birders to the wildlife scene. That's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well. It's all from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.